Now here comes a lady that I've known for 75 or 76 years.
It's more like 100.
Anyhow, this is a lady that's been working for God for so many years. She worked first as a nurse, and then she now has a business where she helps elderly people find the right place for them where they can be taken care of properly. And she looks in on them and makes sure that everything is just right for them. She called an assisted living specialist. But all of this she does as her God work. Patty Walsh has worked for God for a lot of years. And she's a minister at our Sunday church. And I love her, even though she does cause me a lot of trouble.
My Wild Irish Rose or
some
Irish tune.
Well, it's okay. Yeah. Whatever, I like the tunes. Kathy, you're good. It's really nice. Well, thank you, Millie, for inviting me to speak. It's such a treat to be here. You know, some of you know I've been on sabbatical for a while, trying to get my act together, and it's coming. Well, years ago, at about the turn of the century when I met Millie. Don't we look good, though? I went to the Spiritualist Church, and I was really amazed. It felt like I had come home. I had been raised a Catholic, and I had given that up years before. It just, there's a lot of good there, but for me, I was growing in a different direction. So, I went to the Spiritualist Church, and Reverend Alice had readings on one day, during the daytime. And so I went in, and she did a reading, and she said, "Your thoughts are very negative." And I kind of blinked, and I said to her, I said to myself, I didn't say it out loud, "I don't think that's true." But she was right. She was absolutely right on. And I have been working on getting my thoughts to a better place ever since. So I'm going to talk about how thoughts are things. And you'll relate to a lot of this because we all go through it. But it was helpful for her to say that to me once I got a grip and realized that she was really right on. I wasn't blatant negative, sending lousy thoughts to people. So that's where I thought my thoughts weren't negative. But a negative thought is doubt and worry. And that's where I was, or saying something that truly, like I'd say, "Gee, I think that's really hard." And one of my nurse friends said, "Pat, do you believe that?" Well, that was helpful because I thought, well, if I believe it, then it is hard, whatever I was doing. But if I looked at it as an obstacle to overcome or as a challenge, then it would be okay. Then I could put the positive mode into action. So I started listening to what I was saying in my head or in my voice. "I wonder if this will work. I really have to pinch every penny. There just won't be enough. It couldn't happen for me." Real interesting. So when you listen to those thoughts, doubt, worry, and lack of abundance, I had those all down very well. And I was ready to start changing them. So I paid attention to each thought and I would work with that particular thought. So you grow moment by moment, and that's the only way you grow. And for me, it's never quick. As Reverend Ida would say, you know, there aren't any flashes in the pan. Well, boy, I knew there weren't any flashes in the pan. It's taken me years to really work on those thoughts, and I still get into the challenge of that. So, what did I do about that? Well, you know, your friends, and particularly your really old friends, like Millie, was so helpful. Those are the years that I was raising my children, particularly by myself, or most often by myself, and it was real challenging. It was nice in a sense, because I was the only one that made the decision, so that was good, but as far as being consistent and, you know, well, any of you that have raised children, whether you have a spouse there or not, it's challenging. So every now and then I'd get down and Millie would say, now, Pat, take a look at what you have. Look at the good. And she would help me refocus. And that was so helpful. And you know that. Well, we had to revisit that many times. She was helping me refocus all the time. And that was really good. So I learned to focus on what was going well and what was helpful. And that was great. So line yourself up with good friends so that they can be real honest with you. You know, either say what you're doing isn't helpful, or let's take a look at what you really have going for you, and it'll help to change that thought pattern. So that was good. Money was a big deal at that point. It isn't anymore. And that was real neat to experience. I would bemoan the fact that child support was minimal, and then it went back to court and it was less than minimal. And Gary Miller, you heard him speak at, or sing at church a couple weeks ago. He was wonderful. And he said, Pat, you got to get off this kick of beating up your ex-husband. All right. And he said, you have to realize he's not your source. God is. And once I realized that, the money issues changed. You know, we did have enough to make ends meet, and we actually had a good time. There wasn't a lot of fluff, but there was enough. So that was good. And from that, what I've learned, as Millie told you, and you know, I have my own business. Well, that's just tricky. You know, you don't have a paycheck coming in every 2 weeks, but you do have money. Now, you have to, some days, some weeks, some months, you go to the end of the month and you're going, help! God, I need this amount to meet the bills. What can we do about that? And every time I ask, and you're working equally as well, whether you're asking or not, but every time I ask, there is sufficient money. So I've never been destitute doing my own job, but it has taught me trust, that you trust in God. And that's been really super. Because there are weeks that you're going, you know, the backup isn't quite enough to cover this. And sure enough, the placements come through and the money is there. So that's been neat. So along with working with the thought, you do put that element of trust in there. You know God will take care of you. And you know God's world is abundant. I didn't know that for many years. But there's no lack in God's world. And that's pretty exciting, truly, when you think about that. The other thing, going to the spiritualist church was such a breath of fresh air. I can't tell you. I never heard, you should, you have to, you must. Or this is a sin. Or you're going to go to hell. I never, in 30 some odd years, have heard that in the spiritualist church or in this group. What a relief, you know? What a relief. And so my kids and I would talk, and they'd say, well, Mom, is there a hell? Other people talk about it. I said, I don't think so. I think it's here on earth. But your grandparents do believe in hell, so you don't want to contradict them. You let them think what they want to, but you can think what you want to. So my children have grown up, they're grown now, and they're very tolerant of other people and their ideas, which is really neat. You know, they just don't down someone for their idea. And I like that. I also used to see God as a judgmental God. I don't believe that anymore. We take care of ourselves. And in spiritualism, you know, it's self-responsibility. Well, heck, I can deal with that. That is so much better than someone holding a whip over you saying, you must, you have to, you know, or you're going to go to hell. I just could never get into that. I kept thinking, even as a young kid, I thought, hell, why would God create you and then burn you up? Why would he do that? Because you made some mistakes? It just didn't click with me. But I did have, as I was growing up, I did have a hard time, as the nuns would say, you know, you have to watch your thoughts. I'm trying to be as good as I can. I don't beat up on my sister too often because she's stronger. I don't beat up on my little brothers. You know, I try to be fair. Now I have to watch my thought. Goodness. That's too much control for me. But I didn't realize what they were saying is, when you work with your thought in a positive manner, life is easier. It's a whole lot easier. So, when my kids were growing up, you know, they go out, they get a little bit older, they go out on dates, and they're not back on time, and you're looking at your watch, and you're, you know, you can't go to sleep, because you want to be sure that they get in okay. So I thought, okay, I've been sitting in classes and I've learned to do some tuning in. Let's see if I can get this number right. So I tune in to where they were and I pick up the feeling. Do they feel like they're okay, or do they feel like they're having a problem? Well, they felt okay. I'd still worry. I didn't get it, you know. But after about 100 times plus, I started to trust the feeling I was getting. And that was real helpful. So my life was easier. But I had to go through, pick up the feeling, continue the worry just because I felt I needed to do that, I guess. I don't know. And then I tested out. So my testing pattern was longer than probably any of yours would ever be. But finally, I got it. And so it was easy to know, you know, that they were okay. And then my son would say, Mom, I just want to tell you, you don't have to tune in to me all the time. I said, Christoph, I wouldn't invade your privacy doing that. And then I'd just smile. Oh, let him worry about that. But you don't do that sort of thing. But that was real interesting. So you can use that same learning situation. See, I never believed everything I heard. I don't believe anything I hear unless I can use it and apply it. And that's just my personality. So I'd have to go through all these little tests with all these ideas. Then, Reverend Ida, Reverend Rose, would talk about the energy of a place. When we were having the church at the Masonic Hall, It was okay with me. You know, we had met down at Second and Beach for years, and then they sold the little church and it went, or they gave it, basically, for a dollar back to the city, and it's up in Heritage Square. So then we would have our church services at the... You know where that is. And Ida and Rose would talk about how the energy was different there. Well, I couldn't feel the energy. So I think, gee, are they pulling my leg? Or do they just know something that I don't know? And I realized they knew something that I hadn't experienced. And not too long after that, a couple years after that, Genevieve, my daughter, and I had gone to Ireland and England. And when we were in England, we thought we'd go see the Crown Jewels. So we're in the courtyard, if some of you have been there, by Beecham's Tower. And I'm standing there thinking, man, this doesn't feel good. This feels terrible. And I couldn't figure out why it felt so bad. The feelings were just awful. So then we went on the tour. So the Crown Jewels didn't mean anything to me, but picking up the feeling of what it was like in that courtyard, and after the tour found out a lot of people were hung there and killed, and that was many years before, and you could still feel that energy. So I was starting to pick up on the energy and what that felt like. And now, when I go into the board and care homes, I feel the energy right off. And you can tell if it's a good home or not even before you talk to anyone because of the energy there. And I can go into different areas now and I'm really sensitive to the energy. I don't do well going into gambling establishments. It's real upsetting to me.